supper for the fowls. And he cried unto me, and spake unto me, saying, Behold, those which go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. Zechariah 6, verse 8, Revised Version. Immediately after the appearing of the King of Kings with his great army, an angel is seen standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit upon them, both free and bond, both small and great. Revelation 19, verses 17 and 18. The interpreting angel had already informed Zechariah that the chariots with their horses represented the agencies of God which were then coming forth to scatter death and destruction. They were sent forth at his command in cohorts to the north country and south country, both of which are decidedly prominent in Scripture. Daniel visions a long warfare relative to these two countries, which focuses attention upon the latter years, the 7 years of prophetic import, as all Bible students agree. Daniel chapter 11. The bay horses, however, are not confined to one direction. They are sent forth throughout the whole earth, and thus their special characteristic as strong ones is emphasized. We would infer from this description that some regiments of God's army will be stronger than other cohorts or regiments, and thereby enabled to put down that which rises up more aggressively against him. It will be the strong against the strong, as we would say. The expression, have quieted my spirit in the north country, may be read, caused my spirit to rest upon the north country, which implies that the special land is the object on which his spirit abides. The word spirit is also translated anger in other scriptures, Judges 8, 3 and Ecclesiastes 10, verse 4, in which sense it must be understood here. Thus we might paraphrase as follows, that company of the host of the Lord whose mission is toward the north country carries thither the anger of the Lord and deposits it there. Relative to the unbeliever, John's words, the wrath of God abideth on him, express the same thought. The north country is especially singled out as the region where the wrath of God will be visited to the uttermost in that time of his vengeance. We have the reason of this given to us in the prophecy of Ezekiel, where we are shown a great northern confederacy assembling themselves against God and his people, Ezekiel 38 and 39. It is not the same confederacy of nations as that of the revived Roman Empire, but rather a rival. The one is the Western League, the other the Northern. Someone may say, how do you know? Scripture answers for us. Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal undoubtedly apply to Russia. The first named refers to the country, the others to the cities. Russia is even now showing signs of a revolt against God and man, which later will break forth into open rebellion. Russia is greatly feared by other nations. She desires to plunge Europe into war because she hopes to win the spoils of victory. She is steadily working toward world conquest. The proof that Rosh is Russia is found in Ezekiel 38:3. Rosh is addressed as Gog. Therefore, we conclude that Gog is the leader of those nations, his country being Magog, the overtopping place. We learn from Genesis that Magog, Tubal, Meshech, and Gomer were all sons of Japheth, while Tugarmah was a grandson being a son of Gomer. History informs us that Magog's location was between Mesopotamia and the Caucasus. Also that these three, Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, anciently were united and called Scythians. They were wanderers and roamed over the country north of the Black and Caspian Seas and were warlike tribes. Furthermore, their own traditions represent them as having lived in Asia, being later identified with the Medes, from whence sprang the Russia that we know. As the confederacy mentioned in Ezekiel gathers from a country north of Palestine, we believe we are justified in our statement that this nation is Russia and will be the head of the Northern Confederacy. It furnishes the leader, for he is the Prince of Rosh, Revised Version, not Chief Prince, as in our Authorized Version. He is in control of Meshech and Tubal, which may be easily identified as Moscow and Tobolsk. With him are represented other nations. Persia is one of these. It is even now partly occupied by Russia. Ethiopia and Put are also mentioned, as well as Gomer and all its bands. Gomer has been partly identified as Germany, which was not a part of the former Roman Empire. Therefore, it will not be a part of its revival. This may partly explain why it is generally out of harmony with the other European countries. God's judgments must be fully poured out upon all the nations of the world to make way for the kingdom of Christ. The whole world will be in rebellion, and the most rebellious and blasphemous will feel his wrath the most, for all men must bow at the name of Jesus Christ. The Father has invested him with all power, dominion, and glory. All nations and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom shall never be destroyed. Daniel 7:27. With this, the night visions, or we might say the apocalypse of Zechariah, ends. This is most significant, for the truth prophesied in these last three visions, which stand related to one another, portraying Israel's night of sorrow, will be past. Their day of victory will have dawned. The Christ will appear, their Messiah, for whom they have looked, and for whom they have longed for centuries, but did not recognize him when he appeared the first time. They were looking at his second advent portrait in the scriptures and failed to discover his likeness at his first coming, though it is plainly visible there. But we say they will recognize him in both characters when he appears to their defense and protection in that dark night which will end their suffering forever. It is this fact which is symbolically portrayed in the second part of Zechariah 6, the crowning of the high priest. Some commentators consider this part of the visions a ninth vision, but we see it otherwise. It is the climax, the very apex of the monument of truth, which is contained in these moving pictures of that memorable night. It must follow as the top stone of that symbolic line of prophecy which the visions set forth.